Are you chasing status, or do you feel like you're living your true purpose? Are you prioritizing the validation that comes from your status, or are you taking in and prioritizing the journey and the actions you are undertaking instead? Hello, and welcome back to Stoic Spirituality, a podcast where we look through, analyze, and dissect various thoughts, quotes, and books that I've come across over these last few years. My name is Juggin, and I'm a student of the human experience, trying to spread some knowledge out to the rest of the world. And so this episode continues our series on the idea of mastering oneself. And we're going to go a little into, back into rather, this idea of ego and the purpose that you must choose over ego. Our goal in this episode is going to explore how purpose-driven action that is not based with an end goal of praise or validation defeats ego's obsession with being seen and its obsession with status. And so through this podcast episode, I'm going to look through the craving that ego has for titles and recognition and how, in contrast, philosophies like Stoicism and spirituality ask us to act with purpose and be detached from those results and statuses that come from and build upon ego. We'll dive into this kind of thought process with the Bhagavad Gita's wisdom on duty, Marcus Aurelius' focus on actions and principles, and modern insights from Angela Duckworth's Grit, with a little bit of Ryan Holiday's Ego is the Enemy to kind of finish it up. And so, for a little bit of context for any new listeners, the Bhagavad Gita, the focus of the Bhagavad Gita is kind of almost a way of philosophy, or like more like rather a way of life that is based on a philosophy that is also grounded in Stoicism, talking about ideas such as detachment from results and kind of choosing actions for the sake of them, not for the status that comes with it. And so one kind of interesting point I've noticed in all the books and kind of quotes I've ever read is how intertwined many things are. And so the Bhagavad Gita, in my opinion, is one of the most timeless kind of classics on how to live your life and how to stay kind of detached from ego and understand the kind of spirituality that embeds the world around us, which is why I usually reference it a decent bit. But I try to make it more generally spiritual, not particularly Hinduistic in nature. So we'll blend the Bhagavad Gita's insights with some Stoic clarity from Meditations by Marcus Aurelius and a little bit of spiritual purpose in order to embed in us the focus on our purpose, not really ego. Robert Greene puts it as our life task, as an example. And so the kind of question I want to use to prime our overall discussion is, have you ever chased a title only to feel empty or only to think about the next title? And why is it that all of our titles that we may receive seem hollow after the initial kind of illustration? And only when we are acting does it feel like we are moving our life forward. So grab a journal, tune in, and let's begin. So let's start off with ego's obsession with status. So ego as a concept tricks us into valuing being, the feeling of having something, may it be titles or status or recognition, over actually doing purposeful work. In previous episodes, we talked about how ego loves speaking more than doing, how it loves to be seen and receive validation more than actually putting the rubber to the road or the pencil or the paper and doing actual work. And so what happens as a result of this obsession with status, this obsession with titles, is that we lose that stillness, that stoic calm, that clarity that we're so used to and almost need in order to do purposeful work, pulling us from our true path. That flow state that some of us may occasionally reach at specific points in time, when we are so focused on titles and shallow-based results, we lose track of this flow state, the kind of actions we're doing, and the calm and clarity that we actually seek. And so let's go into some kind of sources, some ideas or philosophies behind the ego's obsession with status. So ego as a concept is kind of, for some definition purposes, is kind of an extension of pride. Taking pride in one's work is never necessarily a bad thing. However, when this ends up with us putting other people down to make ourselves feel better, when it results in us feeling that we are the center of the universe and we are the best person for any sort of job, when it results in us putting down other people's feedback, saying they don't understand me, and when it leads to almost a core sense of narcissism over anything that comes our way, that's when it's ego. Confidence is based on this idea of humility. Ego is based on overpride. So now that we've defined it, let's go into this idea of ego in the form of status obsession. So ego equates status with success. It equates maybe, say, someone calling you in relatively good shape with success. It prioritizes external validations over meaningful action. It kind of fosters this fear of obscurity, this fear of being unknown, a fear of kind of doing something silently without anyone noticing. Because it drives us to seek this kind of validation, seek this kind of flattery for us to feel worthy of what we're doing. Worthy of the actions we are committing, worthy of the mountain we are climbing. And so to come back to that mountain analogy, ego equates this kind of success as someone being like, wow, oh, you're climbing this mountain, that's so awesome. And they consider that as success. And you and I both know all of that status and success about this being this mountain climber, quote unquote, means nothing when you consider you haven't even taken a step on the mountain yet. But ego sees the idea of people praising us for even considering climbing a mountain as enough validation. This goes hand in hand from previous episodes where ego is all about talk. Same way, ego is about status, the feeling of having something more than actually having it. And so this, as you may have seen already, conflicts a lot with us being able to do actual work, us being able to be bound to something because we believe it is an honorable principle or we believe it is right, not because other people want it to be right. And it drives us to kind of seek inner peace, rather in this sense, stoic discipline seeks us to seek inner peace. But ego kind of obscures this, making us rather seek everyone else's validation instead of our own peace in the long run. And you can easily and already see how unsustainable of a model, a mental model, basing our entire kind of motivation on this ego is. Because people's motivations, people's moods, everything around people around us are super, super fickle and changeable. So by placing our overall perspective on out external kind of benefits or external kind of views, we lose track of this inner compass we have inside of ourselves, this inner peace you want to cultivate, and that intrinsic duty you want to create. And so the Bhagavad Gita speaks more about this as well. Bhagavad Gita says that clinging to status fuels desires, and it disrupts your tranquility and equanimity. The kind of attachment that ego generates distracts us from what is really important, which is nishkama karma, which I've mentioned in previous episodes, the phrase that means desireless actions. Ego's attachment to this idea of recognition, this validation, this requirement for flattery, moves us away from being able to do things because we believe it is right, or we believe that it is honorable, or because we don't need recognition for it. It requires that every action that we take must have some sort of external validation benefit from it. And so what happens as a result is not only do you pander to those around you, you never actually advance something that is important to you. All you're doing is chasing that good job from a project and not chasing the actual benefits the project will bring. Now don't get me wrong, getting praise, getting recognized is all very good. But that should not be your main goal when you're considering or contemplating beginning a project or a goal, or even considering the benefits or merits of doing said goal. It's not that it isn't nice to receive it. It's just that it shouldn't be your main focus, or it shouldn't be the main motivation as to why you do things. Because as soon as you receive that praise, you realize how hollow it sounds the long run, and all that little deck of cards you were building collapses immediately. When you rather equate your obsession with work for the sake of doing work, or work to help other people around you, not your own self, it is a far more sustainable model for your own brain as well. Status seeking creates mental unrest. It creates an obsession and a reliance upon other people's judgments, other people's decisions, other people's kind of thoughts instead of your own. It removes that internal compass you have and instead bases it upon so many people around you, all of which you have no control over. And it pulls us from this call to act with the devotion and detachment, as the Gita says. And so, when you kind of move away from Stoicism or spirituality, move toward books like Robert Greene's Mastery, we can see that even he recognizes that ego is kind of a rush. It's a dopamine rush that looks for quick recognition and uses that as a buffer to kind of hinder ourselves from doing actual work. In Mastery, there is a discussion of a life's task. And a life's task speaks about what kind of intrinsic purpose you have coded into your DNA, given to you potentially if you believe in the karmic values of Hinduism, that kind of brings in from your past lives a kind of impression or a kind of inclination towards a specific skill or a specific kind of method or dharma, as you may want to put it. And so what we do is, if we focus simply on this life's task, ego has no place anywhere. However, when we allow this veil of ego, in Hinduism called Maya, to kind of veil over all of what we want to actually accomplish, we get distracted. We lose track of our actual road toward mastery. And we move away from skill building and move more toward recognition seeking. And this limits long-term growth all the time. And then this is not even only related to this idea of discipline and this idea of detachment and actions. Ego is so focused on status that when we have to do things that require courage, that require dedication, and that require us to step out of our comfort zone, with the potential cost of our status being temporarily lowered, ego cannot handle that. Imagine yourself having to set up a tough conversation with maybe your boss, or someone who is even higher than your boss, about a specific thing you felt uncomfortable with, a specific thing you want to push back upon, or something you feel that they are doing that is not perfectly accurate based on some kind of data or some kind of knowledge that you have. Courage and non-ego-based actions will set up that call. Obviously, we'll phrase it in a kinder way and speak to the end, and maybe you'll have a slightly reduced status because no one likes being contradicted. But in the end, you will end up with turning an initiative in the right direction, as opposed to seeking status and avoiding confrontation, avoiding rippling the waters for the sake of ego, for the sake of maintaining good graces in everyone's kind of eyes. So one thing you may or may not have seen through our discussions on ego or your own experiences with ego is that ego is heavily tied to insecurity. When someone acts out seeking or using ego as a weapon, the first question I always ask myself, and one thing you as a listener should ask yourself as well, is what are they compensating for? Someone who acts very grandiose, who acts very egoistically, is always insecure about something. Is always kind of afraid, seeking this validation, automatically illustrates they're insecure about something. So our interactions with people that are egoistic should not be us rising to anger the same way that they do, but rather us just calmly contemplating within ourselves, what are they insecure about? Why are they trying to impose upon me something I'm not comfortable with? But a little bit of a tangent in terms of addressing people who have ego. But coming back to this idea of this obsession with status, envy, insecurities, and kind of all of these qualities intertwined with ego that seeks short-term status boosts and neglects the kind of sustained effort that comes with perseverance and purposeful goals. And so us, as individuals, should take a step back and ask ourselves, for certain things and certain actions we're doing, we should self-reflect and ask ourselves, are we doing this out of ego for the status recognition? Or are we doing this because we want something for the sake of wanting something? Now, don't get me wrong. Looking for a promotion, looking for an upgrade in your title is not a bad thing inherently, because usually with that comes extra money, comes increases in promotions. But what is more important is that you base your overall kind of work on becoming a student, which we'll discuss more in next episode, and rather with the idea of acting for the sake of acting, doing actions without tying ourselves to the results. That is what will get us to a much more comfortable, grounded, non-ego-based, confidence and humility-based perspective. Imagine you're a writer who kind of craves this bestseller status, that wants to be on the New York Times bestseller, but neglects this kind of craft of storytelling, who spends so much time chasing every single way, daydreaming about this idea of being on that status, they never put the pencil on the paper and start learning about the craft of storytelling in order to tell a really good book. And the question you want to ask yourself with this is, have you ever sought status over purpose? As you move into, now that we've covered what ego's effect on us is, how we can move forward to live purposefully, simply by acting. Purpose, your life's task, and acting all have kind of an anchor. And this anchor is spiritual truth and stoic duty. Something that guides us to do and act forward instead of just simply being and relying upon our words to get us everywhere. Acting with intention frees us from status-driven desires and aligns us to our higher calling. A quote that I remember from Ego is the Enemy that I still think about relatively often is this idea of internal metrics. So in organizations, in a weight scale that we step on, in how many calories we eat, in all of these, there are data, there are metrics. And in society, there are social media posts all the time. And these are what I consider societal metrics. Not inherently good, not inherently bad. A good measure of how you compare with everyone else. However, what I like to prioritize, at least within myself, is not really societal metrics. I like to prioritize my own set of internal metrics that decide or decipher whether or not I am improving or whether I'm staying stagnant or whether I'm decreasing. It allows me to not be driven or attached to this idea of status, but rather be driven to what I believe I can accomplish. With my goals, my rule set being what percentage of myself am I working toward? Every year or so, I create a little tapestry and I kind of rank/rate myself on a scale of 1 to 10 for about 9 or 10 different fields that I consider important fields to illustrate how far where I'm advancing. May it be things like finances, health, my people-pleasing tendencies at times, and setting proper boundaries, or spiritual practice, or moving toward kind of financial independence as well. Things like these, I set my own set of metrics and I give myself a rating from 0 to 10 of how far I've gotten in these certain metrics. And I use that as a designator as to who I want to become with specific goals and sets. My personal experiences have always shown me that when I start comparing myself with other people, something I used to do a few years ago, it never gets you anywhere. Because not only do you feel envy over having something that the other person does, you also kind of deny yourself your good qualities and the negative qualities. More often than not, you'll find yourself being like, oh, I have this, but he doesn't have that, but I have this. So that makes me better than that person. And that is never a productive conversation to have with yourself. It just ends with you staring at a mirror, either feeling super, super good and allowing the cloud and veil of ego to kind of make its way through, or if you're in a kind of sadder mood, feeling the insecurity seep in deeply through yourself. So let's move on a little bit to living purposefully with action. Purpose, your life's task, demands focusing not on the end result, but on the work itself, journey before destination, focusing primarily on the idea of embodying virtue in the present moment. And so we may have touched upon this in a previous episode, but one of my favorite other quotes is from The Power of Now, which talks about ego lives in the past and the future. It asks us to analyze things from the past and make ourselves feel better, or make ourselves driven to despair, and looks toward the future to daydream about how we're going to live at a later point in time, seeking happiness in an external time, or external ideal, or external person. Living in the present moment negates that. It asks us to set goals practically, use them as tools, but live in the daily moment, advancing our goals one step at a time. Marcus Aurelius says that every being has a rational duty in alignment with this idea of providence and nature. And our role and our purpose as humans is to act with purpose and align ourselves with stoic reason and spiritual service. Purposeful action requires ignoring external judgments and focusing on what lies within our control, which is our brain, how we respond to events, and our actions themselves. And so one caveat to this external judgments piece is that external judgments does not mean negating feedback, because that is another way to move into kind of this idea of egoistic narcissism. However, what ignoring external judgments means is when someone judges you for doing something that you know and have analyzed is correct, but simply judge you for the sake of judging you, that is what you must ignore. One rule of thumb I used that I saw on an Instagram reel at some point was that if you would not take advice from someone, do not take criticism from them. If you feel like one person does not have any insights to provide to you in terms of advice, why would you take feedback they give to you in terms of criticism? And so it's a fine line to walk where you kind of consider people's judgments, you consider people's feedback they give you, and you decide whether it aligns with you or not. But the important part is reflection. Purposeful action requires this ignoring of external judgments and focusing on what lies within our control and living for this idea of the journey, not the destination, brings inner tranquility, because it doesn't tie us to a future moment. It ties us to this moment right now. And remember, purpose does not hit us like a train or a brick wall. It grows through small, consistent actions, and building discipline does that over time. When you tie habits and things you do to intrinsic goals, may it be the small little endorphins you get after doing a workout, or simply this feeling of happiness you get in the moment after doing something, or the feeling of selfless service, that's when you're going to align yourself with Stoic principles and this idea of egoless actions or egoless purpose. And this consistent action builds in you a life of integrity, which counters this fleeting status-based illustrations that ego seeks. And so, an example of a purposeful action that I would recommend everyone do is community service. Serving others, cultivating inner joy. It doesn't even have to be community service. It can just be doing something small every single day for someone else. Doing something that isn't so self-absorbed in your own head will allow you to circumvent the egoic battering that your brain does to you as soon as it seeks status. When you act for others' well-being, you ground yourself in reality and spiritual truth and counter the status-driven desires. Because when you're volunteering for other people, you're not volunteering so someone will recognize you for doing something, because no one's going to remember your name for the most part after you leave. You're doing it because you want to serve others. And so, let's discuss a little bit about the benefits as purposeful action, some of which we've already covered before. The benefits of purposeful action is a clear driven desire and a clear internal compass that drives you in the right direction because you believe it is honorable, noble, and right. Not because your ego has decided it requires validation from someone else. And the spiritual purpose we have fosters more resilience in 3 days of working toward it than you can probably get in a month or two of living with ego. It gives us courage. It gives us the ability to act regardless of external stresses or temptations by status. It requires us to act selflessly and for the sake of doing something because it'll make things around us better, not because it'll make us better. And so a question you want to tie back to that we asked in the beginning of this overall podcast episode was the idea of kind of chasing a title only to feel empty. And so the question I want to call back now is, when did you last act solely for purpose, not for recognition? When did you do something for the sake of doing something, not for the recognition that would come after? And when you consider this, when you start finding actions or when you start cultivating habits to deliberately do this for the sake of doing it, it transforms you. Something I touched on in a previous episode that I like doing is I don't like sharing too much about what I like doing or what I do for fun or even just for my own self, because I feel like as soon as you release it out to this world, it becomes a status game, or at least your mind sees it as such, where you're doing something for the sake of receiving this recognition from other people, not for doing it for the sake of doing. So maybe instead, the next time you want to tell someone everything you've been doing, why not kind of not necessarily hide it, but allow it to grow as a habit in your own self, and maybe keep it a secret with yourself and see how when you're doing things for your own sake, it kind of eliminates this necessity for status and ego. And so some actionable steps. I always come back to this idea of journaling. Journaling has always been an important kind of practice for me because it allows me to non-judgmentally write my thoughts and feelings on a piece of paper or on a computer. It allows me to create and kind of almost structure my own thoughts into a lattice work of words and thoughts and ideas in order to provide myself a kind of basis on to work with. And the other recommendation I would have has to do with doing actions for the sake of doing them, or finding something you don't need to share with anyone that you're doing that you feel is better for those around you or even better for yourself, but is not based on you telling someone else, oh, I did this thing, give me recognition for it. And so through this episode, we've kind of exposed this idea of ego's obsession with status, this titles, recognition, envy piece, through various books, thoughts, and quotes. And we've also explored the benefits of a purpose-driven life and the benefits it brings to our regular life and the positive feedback loop it generates through all that we do. In the next episode, we'll explore one of the primary ways we can dissolve this ego-based status recognition, which is by becoming a student. Not an academic student, but just a student. Diving deeper into Bhagavad Gita, Ego is the Enemy, and a few other books as well. And the question I want to prime you listeners is, how can lifelong learning defeat ego? Join me next week to find out. If you'd like to hear more content regarding Stoic spirituality, feel free to drop me a follow on whichever platform you're listening to this podcast on. And if you want to hear little clips or sound bites or important quotes that I feel are from any podcast, feel free to drop me a follow at Stoic Spirituality on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening, and see you guys next time.